What do you want, motherfucker?
Okay, it's another episode of the Skid Row Podcast. I have Aaron Zero in the studio today, Skid Row Studios.
I have returned for more.
I always like your name, Aaron. Aaron Zero. It sounds like a fucking superhero name or something.
Yeah, it's actually pretty fucked up, if you ask me.
Why's that?
Just imagine everywhere you go, anybody sees your name, they automatically comment on it, say something about it. It sucks. It's like, couldn't I have like a name like Mike, you know, Richardson or something? So it was like, oh.
Aaron Zero's a fucking cool name, man. I don't know. You should be happy with that name. Anyway, a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. One of the things is what happened with Miley Cyrus. I know nothing about this chick, but I find it interesting how some people are kind of shocked that she was out partying. I don't get that part. And then there was the Salvia portion of it, and I have my own stories about Salvia. I know, Aaron, you wanted to talk about kind of, you know, the everyday drugs that people are trying to get high off of that, you know, are like legal things. So we'll talk about that. But another thing, it's been raining for the past two fucking days here in L.A. pretty much nonstop. And L.A. is not used to nonstop rain. Whenever there's the first big rain of the season, everybody just kind of stays in, and you know, places are pretty scarce, and everything's wet, and everybody's depressed. And I don't know. I didn't come to California to be rained on, and I think people feel the same way. I hope this rain fucking stops soon, man.
Yeah, but you got to think about it. It's December. I mean, you got to have shitty rain sometimes, and the bums need to get clean. I mean, they, you know, everybody needs a bath every now and then.
Would you call it the bum bath?
Yeah, it's LA's two-day bum bath.
Nice.
No, basically, you know, it's needed, and the shitty part about it is on the 15th, it's actually the worst traffic day in like California history, like every day.
Yeah.
Every day on the 15th is the worst traffic day, and it's like funny how like it goes down every year. Because people are trying to either get out of town, get into town, you know, do their thing.
Dude, driving in this shit is pretty much impossible. I mean, you know, when people complain about traffic, you know, L.A. is the capital of the worst traffic in the world. When it rains, it's just impossible.
It's more or less like bumper cars. You just kind of, like, gotta hope nobody hits you and, like, slides in your direction. But, yeah, it sucks.
Dude,
worst shit ever.
Just trying to go down the street takes a half hour, and I'm talking like two blocks away, and that's just frustrating. That's fucked up.
It took me a half hour to get here from Staples.
Yeah, that's like what, three, four? I mean, maybe five blocks away if you stretch it. But yeah. Yep. Fuck traffic. But that's the way it is here. People freak out when it rains. So I actually went to see Tron last night. And
yeah, how'd you like it?
You know, I think it's what I expected. When I saw the first trailer for Tron, I thought, fuck, this is gonna be an amazing movie. It's gonna be brilliant. And
yeah,
then
I remember you coming like, hey dude, you gotta watch this. Sit here, watch, wait, I'll find it.
Yeah.
This right here.
And the first trailer was like, fuck yeah, man. Like, this is going to fucking be great. And then the other trailers came out, and I started, I don't know, like, something just seemed like it was going to go south. And, you know, it's what I expected. Visually, it's amazing. And that's what everybody's saying. But the story, yeah, I don't know, not so much. They just kind of, they really ignored the first movie and then just kind of made up some shit and threw it all together. Just, it's pretty much like the whole first part of the movie is just there to get them into the grid, is what they call it, and then it goes from there.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we're gonna see another Lebowski in maybe 15 years.
You know what? I don't think the Coen brothers would do that. I don't think they'd fuck that up. That would be just terrible.
It's awkward how it came about. You know, Jeff Bridges is a great actor, but I kind of think it was just like, here, we got to get him on something, and it's a great way to like promote 3D and the light effects and the technology. And I think Disney wants to show what they got in that game.
I feel like every movie coming out now is more about showing off 3D than it is about making a good movie. I mean, it's to the point now where it feels like they should just drop the 3D thing, because every movie that's coming out is in 3D. So, like, okay, let's just make that the new standard. And I don't know, sometimes they come up with cheesy shots just to throw out the 3D technology. But, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's also the way they promote the blockbusters, the big movies, where you're like, oh, this is, like, you know you're going to be sold on a piece of crap. Like, you know it's just like, something's just not right. Like, you're going to go in and you're like, oh, man. You know, promos look good, trailers look good, and then you go in and you go, what the hell was that? That fucking blew. And the real, like, issue with that sucks is the movies that are original are usually the really good ones, the ones that, you know, you think you see something original, but there's not really much origination in movies. You know, there's a lot of times it's the same thing over and over again, so.
The one thing I liked about Tron, and if I had to walk away and get say I got something out of it, it was the actress who played Quora, and I guess her real name is Olivia Wilde, and she's just hot, so at least I got that out of it.
Yeah, she's actually been in a few movies. I remember her from a movie called Turistas.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a spin-off of Hostel, but, you know, with their own thing. They go to South America.
Oh, right, I remember this now.
The same kind of thing happens, And yeah, Olivia Wilde, she's pretty good, and, you know, she's about to be in everything, so.
Yeah, there's a scene with her kind of sprawled out on this couch inside of Kevin Flynn's lair outside of the grid. And, yeah, that's you can tell they put that shot in there just to show this chick off, and they do a pretty good job of it. She looks pretty hot in that.
I do got to say about the Tron cast, though, is the other girl that's in it, Bo Garrett. If you ever saw the shot of her, and she's in like the suit.
Oh, she's like the seductive, tall, hot chick that comes and fucks with Sam Flynn, I guess, in the movie. Is that who it is? Did you see her character in this movie yet?
No, you haven't
seen it, so I'm giving away all the shit. Sorry,
yeah, exactly.
About that.
I'm like, oh man, people are gonna be pissed, but no.
Yeah, she I think I know good. Who you're talking about.
She definitely looks good. I was like, wow, that actress is also something to look at. So, yeah, something to watch for in the future.
Yep, you know, after this, you're gonna see all these people in a bunch of stuff now. That's how it goes.
Well, that's the thing about working for Disney. You work for Disney, and usually have a good future.
I guess. Walt didn't have such a good future, though.
Yeah, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Isn't he frozen in ice? I went to a restaurant the other night a couple weeks ago. Tam O'Shanter's. And the thing they tell everybody when you go into this restaurant is that Disney and his crew used to come over here and eat. And Tam O'Shanter's, it's up on Los Feliz Boulevard, right off the 5, over by the Costco. That's actually the original Lowry's Steakhouse.
All right.
Yeah. Did you ever eat at Lowry's Cuttery over there at the LA Live?
Actually, yeah. Yeah. I've frequented the location before.
Nice. All right. So now on to what the topic I really want to talk about.
Yeah, we strayed away from that one a little bit, like, for a deep while.
So yeah.
Let's get back to it.
Miley Cyrus was at a party. I think it was her birthday party. I don't know. I don't really even know much about this chick, so what I'm about to say really has nothing to do with Miley Cyrus, but it's more about the public's reaction to what she did. And what she did was is she took a nice bong hit of Salvia Divinorum, which is a drug that I have some experience with, and I have friends who have also experienced this drug. But before I get into Salvia, the thing that I find interesting about this Miley Cyrus thing is the people who are surprised that this girl who is, a Hollywood star, she's rich, she's beautiful. I think she was rich before she became a star. Isn't her father Billy Ray Cyrus, like the fucking gigantic country star?
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, they raised her daughter, and they realized she could sing, and then next thing you know, she's Miley Cyrus, or, Hannah Montana.
Right, she was Hannah Montana, which was some kid's show, right?
Made tons of money, man. And then her own fashion line and the whole thing. Made tons of money, and then, growing up, she goes the way of a lot of the Disney actors and the Disney talent, but
to me, here's the thing, is like, why is anyone surprised that this chick is partying her ass off? Or I don't even know if she parties her ass off, but people were surprised to see Hannah Montana taking a bong hit, and for me, this is a statement about people's disillusion about television and people, the characters people play on television.
Well, this is the great part about the whole Miley Cyrus thing, and it's the whole Hannah Montana and that generation and people, around their kids. But the reality of it is, it's like, this is like, didn't we know we're gonna get here when the whole 15-year-old girl sending racy photos out and all that stuff came out? So aren't we gonna just realize, hey, It's kind of been leading up to this the whole time. I don't know if you're aware of it, but she actually had a bunch of photos leak out, sending to a boyfriend or something. And so it's not the first time something's come out of from her side of this kind of stuff, and the debauchery kind of nature of growing up and adolescence. So,
but how old is she? Is she 12?
18.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised by it. I don't think anyone else should be surprised by it. She's rich. She's beautiful. She's famous. What better time than now for her to be crazy? I mean, just because she's famous and rich doesn't mean that she can't have fun and be crazy like anyone else. The only reason that anybody gives a shit is because she's Miley Cyrus. If you saw some other chick that looked like her, had was in the same environment but just wasn't famous, nobody would give a fuck. And to me, it's just like, it's hypocritical that people would try to judge her for partying and having a good time. And actually, one thing that I noticed on this video, did you see the video of her taking the bong hit?
Actually, I did. TMZ, yeah. Mobile, it's everywhere. You're gonna see it.
And
to reiterate on what you were saying is, look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, in the real world, is just another guy fucking.
Right.
He's just going out, same as a lot of single dudes do, go to bars night after night, meet with a ton of women, and take them back to their place, and the same thing, and a lot of times they're married. But because it's Tiger Woods, because people look at him as he is, and they build up these expectations of these superhuman type abilities for these people, when in fact they're just regular people. So it's the same thing with Miley Cyrus. It's like we can watch kids taking bong rips on MTV or Intervention or any of these TV shows that are on, or anything on HBO. How many times do you see it? Most high school movies have kids smoking weed or doing something, and then now we're surprised that somebody in the industry is, taking a bong rip of Salvia. I'm just wondering why, kids can't just smoke weed or at least Google the shit they do before they do it.
Yeah, I just don't find anything strange with what she did. She's young and rich, and she lives in Hollywood, and she's famous, and she's gonna fucking party, and why shouldn't she be? what other time, I mean, there's no other better time in your life if you're in that position to party than right fucking now. Do it to the fullest, fucking just get crazy, and I find nothing wrong with it. In fact, I would be surprised if she wasn't. So that's how I feel about that.
But then again, let's talk about some of the other fucked up shit people are doing on a consistent basis.
Like what?
Well, like, you ever heard Dust Off Can Get You High?
Dust Off? I think I have heard something about that. I've never actually tried that.
Not, you know, likewise, but I know people who have, and, you know, I've come in dust and be off. Like...
So what, do you huff it or what?
Yeah, same thing as, like, you know, doing whippets out of a whipped cream container and getting high off of that. And, you know, it's some fucked up shit I've seen people doing, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what it's come to? You just go down to the store, you do that kind of shit. I don't know. What other fucked up shit are people doing?
I heard nutmeg.
Yeah, I've heard nutmeg, too, that people are trying to get high on nutmeg.
whoa. Yeah. Nutmeg, I heard... What the fuck? People just eat it until they get sick, and then they think they're tripping. I think that's actually pretty funny. I don't know, man. In California, I feel it's kind of pointless to try to use that kind of shit when you have the availability of weed the way we do. But one quick thing I wanted to mention again about...
Times are tough for the youth, you know? The allowances aren't the same, you know? Shit's gotten more expensive, so
fucking nutmeg.
Instead of your dime bag, you go down to the store and you pick up a good old, you know, sack of nutmeg.
Yeah, great. That's gotta feel like shit.
You're gonna get carded.
That's retarded.
To buy some nutmeg. Excuse me, sir. Are you of age?
Yeah.
Identification.
Nutmeg. I bet that feels fucking great.
But my mom sent me down here to pick some nutmeg up. Like, you're gonna get high on this, aren't you?
That's great.
You eating that nutmeg, son? Cops pulling kids over.
Going to rehab for nutmeg.
Oh.
Can't fucking stop, man.
I've been hitting that meg hard.
Hitting the meg.
You got that in?
Oh, man. So, but one thing about Miley Cyrus again. The thing I wanted to point out. If you watch her take that bong hit, man, she hits it like a champ. And I just think that's funny because, you know, to any pot smoker that's seen that video, you know right away that, you know, she smokes weed like crazy. And she's probably been smoking weed for a while now because she hits that bong like a champ.
I disagree with you respectively, of course.
Really?
Yeah, because in the video itself, if you turn up the audio, you can hear... guys in the background instructing her on how to smoke it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, play the video.
I didn't listen to it that closely.
Yeah, no, there's audio where that blows like, no, my theory. No, no. Keep smoking.
Because she's going,
and then she doesn't even clear the bowl. So I'm like, oh.
But that might be because she's smoking salvia.
Well, that's true too. Like, you know, once it hits the lips, things get fucked up.
Well, because in her mind, she might have thought, because there's actually a thing with salvia. You're supposed to take as big of a hit as you can and hold it as long as you can. Because with salvia, if you don't hold it long enough, there's some kind of asphyxiation associated with it that helps you trip harder with salvia. And so maybe she just didn't understand how to hit salvia. But when I watch that video, I see her take a hit from the bong, and she does the whole thing where she, you know, hits the bong, blows it out, tilts her head back and blows it up in the air. And she fucking what is that the video?
No. This is a video of a guy that just like pounded a thing of nutmeg.
Yeah, and what's he doing?
He's just guzzling water. I typed in nutmeg high and it just came up. Look, he's just guzzling his meg.
Oh, that is. I'm sorry, man. If you're fucking doing that, then
but you I got do gotta issues. Say, if you're in the nutmeg industry, you're making a fucking killing. Like, if you're the one that spread a rumor like this shit gets you high,
you think some guy in the corporate office, some huge nutmeg corporation, is like, look, we gotta push this to the kids. We gotta get the kids into the nutmeg, and our fucking sales will go through the roof.
Just give it to your kids and tell them to snort it at the lunch table. Chop it up. It'll be the next thing.
We got to get the nutmegs in the hands of the kids, and then we're fucking set. Once the kids catch on to the nutmeg high, there's no stopping us.
In that case, I want every kid to go out there and take a spoonful of cinnamon.
Nutmeg.
Because that will make you puke.
So, we started to get into Salvia itself a little bit. I want to talk about Salvia because I think Salvia is a fucked up drug. And I've done it myself. I've been with friends. I've told you this story about Terry and doing the Salvia at my place in San Francisco, right?
Yeah, but, you know, let's hear it again.
My friend Terry, he knows how to take gigantic bong rips. He's a bong champion. He loves smoking pot. He's been smoking pot for all his life. And I decided to get Salvia one day while I was up in San Francisco. I had just moved back to San Francisco from L.A. and had this shitty apartment in the Tenderloin. And so I get some Salvia, Terry comes over, and I say, all right, take as big of a hit as you can and hold it as long as you can. And that's kind of the wrong thing to say to Terry, because he'll just fucking inhale the entire bowl and hold it for, you know, 5 minutes. And he just, that's exactly what he did. And I had smoked Salvia before, but to be honest, you know, I can't take the gigantic bong rips that some people can. Aaron, I know you're a champion. We have some video of Aaron killing a fucking bowl. You were a bong ripping champion, YouTube superstar. I can't take that big of a rip. So every time I've done Salvia, I just get a really bad feeling. I get, it feels like it's cutting off oxygen to my brain, and I just feel like shit. And I remember having almost an allergic reaction both times that I did it, where I just was uncontrollably like itching all over my body, and it felt terrible. And I had no, but I kept thinking, I'm just not doing it right. Like if I hit it right, then I'm gonna fucking feel great and have this amazing trip. And it never happened for me. But Terry took this hit, and it was a gigantic hit. And he held that shit. He took that hit and he sat back in this chair. I had this chair, like this shitty fucking wooden chair in my apartment. Sat back in the chair, and you could have probably counted to two. Counted to two, and all of a sudden he fucking jumps up, and he fucking, my chair goes flying across the room, and I'm like, oh shit, like what's gonna happen? And all of a sudden Terry's got this look on his face like he has been transported into the middle of a fucking barren planet, and that he's all by himself and he doesn't know where he is or how to get out of it. And he's got a worried look on his face like you know, he just fucking witnessed something really terrible.
So what's going on in your mind at this point?
So what's going on in my mind is like, I don't know if his brain is going to explode. Like, I don't know if he's going to have a fucking schizoid episode right in front of me.
So he was basically your guinea pig. You're like, hey, dude, want to do some Salvia?
Well, I had done it before, and I had been with other people who have done it, but I think because of Terry's bong-hitting ability, he reached some new levels. And I think that's really what it was for him. And so after he jumps out of the chair, he starts running from one end of my apartment to the other, like trucking, and he doesn't even know I'm in the room. That's the thing that was really strange about it. Like, he's not looking at me, he's not aware of my existence, and we're the only two people in the room. So what the fuck? And he, I remember this one time he runs out the front door of my apartment, and he was 2 inches from crushing this 80-year-old lady who was standing in the hallway right outside my door. Like, if she would have been just a few steps in front of where she was, he would have shattered her spine against the wall, man. It was crazy.
This is sounding like salvia laced with crack, my friend.
I bought the salvia probably down on Haight Street from some head shop, and they got different strengths. They got, you know, like 20X and 50X and 100X, and I don't know what the deal is with the different strengths, but I, knowing myself, I probably went for the strongest one they had on the shelf. And after Terry runs out into the hallway, he comes back in, and this goes on. All this happened within maybe 8 to 10 minute period, and that's the thing about salvia, is the high doesn't last very long. But while you're in that high, you're in like a fucking nightmare. And I remember Terry, we were watching America's Funniest Home Videos on the TV. And fucking Tom Bergeron was on the screen with the America's Funniest Home Videos. And Terry was trying to jump into my television set. And he kept banging his head off the front of my television screen, trying to get inside of my television, because Tom Bergeron was fucking with him and challenging him to a fight. And Terry wanted to get into my television so he could beat the fuck out of Tom Bergeron.
Did he succeed?
No, he just bashed his head off my television a few times. And then directly after that, he starts jumping into the air, like jumping up into the air with his arms extended. And he just kept saying, "Jump out, jump out." And he kept saying, "Jump out." And he's completely insane at this point. And then, you know, just like that, like a light switch, it kind of turns itself off. And you just feel like shit afterwards, but you're done tripping, and, you know, you got a headache, and you just feel like something has boiled your brain that really, like, your brain was trying to fight off a foreign object, and you know, you're fighting for sanity again, and then it just comes back to you. And Terry told me, you know, that he considered himself temporarily insane. He said he could have killed somebody, he wouldn't have known what the hell was going on. He could have jumped off my balcony and, you know, had just no idea. And ever since then, I've decided that I don't really give a fuck about checking out salvia anymore. That just seemed like a scary trip.
Well, yeah,
there exactly. Seemed to be no enlightenment from it. No, you know, with mushrooms or whatever, you get something out of it. You get to look at yourself and you know, it's very emotional. But salvia is just like temporary insanity, and I'm not into that shit any longer.
I actually haven't had the pleasure of experiencing the salvia.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Not really. It's actually supposed to, like, I mean, what exactly is it? It's like some little this herb from Mexico, right? That they, it's basically packed like tobacco.
I used to know more about this. I forget where the origins are, but some places, some names, they call it sage. Sometimes they call it spice, and it's a plant. Yeah.
So I mean, like, you know, alcohol has its benefits. Weed has its benefits. You know, other things have its, you know, obvious benefits, and it's fun part. What part of that is fun? I don't understand it. I mean, like, a lot of the kids, like, you know, same thing with Miley Cyrus. She's laughing, she's giggling, and they break into this, like, you know, moment of, you know, I don't know, psychosis.
Psychosis.
Yeah, I mean, I've
psychotic episode.
I have had the pleasure of watching them, you know, experience it on YouTube, and it's kind of funny, but yet it's like, why the hell would anybody want to do this? It's just one of those things. It's one of those things that I think the youth will dabble with more than, you know, anybody else. But if anything, you know, like they've said already, that people are running into stores and head shops going, "I want what Miley had. I want what."
Well, yeah, and that's what I heard, is that now salvia is flying off the shelves. And I don't know, man. Even if you do a search on YouTube for this shit, I haven't seen one video where somebody's like, "Yeah, that's great." every video is like, watch this guy freak out and have a psychotic episode. And so I don't know, man. Like,
got any laying around?
No, I don't have any salvia right now. I have shit that's a lot better for you and a lot more fun. And I'm gonna about to take a rip of that shit right now. That sounds really good in the mic, man. That nice bong hit sound. It's just sound effects.
Smooth.
So, since it is Christmas, I wanted to play a piece from one of my favorite authors, William Burroughs, and it's called The Junkie Christmas. Have you ever listened to this?
I don't think so. It's not ringing a bell. You
know, it's pretty fucking awesome. It's festive. It's that time of year. So listen to The Junkie Christmas. Have a good holiday. Don't do salvia. Fuck that shit. Go see Tron, but don't fucking expect to be blown away by the story. But check out that chick because she's fucking hot. Any closing words, Maestro?
Happy holidays.
It was Christmas Day, and Daddy the car wiper hit the street junk, sick and broke, after 72 hours in a precinct cell. It was a clear, bright day, but there was no warmth in the sun. Daddy shivered with an inner cold. He turned up the collar of his worn, greasy black overcoat. This beat Benny wouldn't pawn for a deuce, he thought. It was in the West 90s. A long block of brownstone rooming houses. Here and there, a holly wreath in a clean black window. Danny's senses registered everything sharp and clear with the painful intensity of junk sickness. The light hurt his dilated eyes. He walked past a car, darting his pale blue eyes sideways in quick appraisal. There was a package on the seat, and one of the ventilator windows was unlocked. Danny walked on 10 feet, no one in sight. He snapped his fingers and went through a pantomime of remembering something and wheeled around. No one. Bad setup, he decided. The street being empty like this, I stand out conspicuous. Gotta make it fast. He reached for the ventilator window. A door opened behind him. Daddy whipped out a rag and began polishing the car windows. He could feel the man standing behind him. What are you doing? Danny turned as if surprised. Oh, just thought your car windows needed polishing, mister. The man had a frog face and a deep South accent. He was wearing a camel's hair overcoat. My car don't need polishing, nothing stole out of it neither. Danny slid sideways as the man grabbed for him. I wasn't looking to steal nothing, mister. I'm from the South, too, Florida. Goddamn sneaking thief. Danny walked away fast and turned a corner. Better get out of the neighborhood. That hick is likely to call the law. He walked 15 blocks, sweat running down his body. There was a raw ache in his lungs. His lips drew back off his yellow teeth in a snarl of desperation. I gotta score somehow. I had some decent clothes. Daddy saw a suitcase standing in a doorway. Good leather. He stopped and pretended to look for a cigarette. Funny, he thought. No one around. Inside, maybe, phoning for a cab. The corner was only a few houses away. Danny took a deep breath and picked up the suitcase. He made the corner, another block, another corner. The case was heavy. I got a score, all right, he thought. Maybe enough for a 16th in a room. Danny shivered and twitched, feeling a warm room and heroin emptying into his vein. Let's have a quick look. He stepped into Morningside Park. No one around. Jesus, I never saw the town this empty. He opened the suitcase. two long packages in brown wrapping paper. He took one out. It felt like meat. He tore the package open at one end, revealing a woman's naked foot. The toenails were painted with purple-red polish. He dropped the leg with a sneer of disgust. "Holy Jesus," he exclaimed. "The routines people put down these days. Legs! Well, I got a case anyway." He dumped the other leg out. No bloodstains. He snapped the case shut and walked away. "Legs," he muttered. He found the buyer sitting at a table in Harrow's cafeteria. "Thought you might be taking the day off," Danny said, putting the case down. The buyer shook his head sadly. "I got nobody, so what's Christmas to me?" His eyes traveled over the case, poking, testing, looking for flaws. What was in it? Nothing. "What's the matter? I don't pay enough." "I tell you, there wasn't nothing in it." "Okay, so somebody travels with an empty suitcase." "Okay." He held up three fingers. "For Christ's sake, Gimpy, give me a nickel." "You got somebody else. Why don't he give you a nickel? It's like I say, the case was empty." Gimpy kicked at the case disparagingly. "It's all nicked up and kind of dirty looking." He sniffed suspiciously. "How come it stink like that? Mexican leather?" "So, am I in the leather business?" Gimpy shrugged. "Could be." He pulled out a roll of bills and peeled off three ones, dropping them on the table behind the napkin dispenser. "You want?" "Okay." Danny picked up the money. "You see George the Greek?" he asked. "Where you been? He got busted 2 days ago." "Oh, that's bad." Danny walked out. "Now where can I score?" he thought. George the Greek had lasted so long, Danny thought of him as permanent. It was good age, too, and no short counts. Danny went up to 103rd and Broadway. Nobody in Harrow, nobody in the automat. "Yeah," he snarled, "all the pushers off on the nod someplace. What they care about anybody else? So long as they get it in the vein, what they care about a sick junkie?" He wiped his nose with one finger, looking around furtively. There was no one he knew in the 23rd Street Thompson's. Jeez, he thought, where is everybody? He clutched his coat collar together with one hand, looking up and down the street. "There's Joey from Brooklyn. I'd know that hat anywhere. Joey, hey, Joey." Joey was walking away with his back to Danny. He turned around. His face was sunken, skull-like. The gray eyes glittered under a greasy gray felt hat. Joey was sniffing at regular intervals. His eyes were watering. No use asking him, Danny thought. They looked at each other with the hatred of disappointment. "Guess you heard about George the Greek," Danny said. "Yeah, I heard." "You been up to 103rd? "Yeah, just came from there. Nobody around." "Nobody around any place," Joey said. "I can't even score for goofballs." "Well, Merry Christmas, Joey. See ya." "Yeah, see ya." Danny was walking fast. He had remembered a croaker on 18th Street. Of course, the croaker had told him not to come back. Still, it was worth trying. The brownstone house with a card in the window. P.H. Zuniga, M.D. Danny rang the bell. He heard slow steps. The door opened and the doctor looked at Danny with bloodshot brown eyes. He said nothing. He just leaned there looking at Danny. Goddamn alcoholic, Danny thought. He smiled. "Merry Christmas, doctor." The doctor did not reply. "You remember me, doctor." Danny tried to edge past the doctor into the house. "I'm sorry to trouble you on Christmas Day, but I've suffered another attack." "Attack?" "Yes, facial neuralgia." Danny twisted one side of his face into a horrible grimace. The doctor recoiled slightly, and Danny pushed into the dark hallway. "Better shut the door, you'll be catching cold," he said jovially, shoving the door shut. The doctor looked at him, his face focusing visibly. "I can't give you a prescription," he said. "But doctor, this is a legitimate condition, an emergency, you understand." "No prescription impossible, it's against the law." "You took an oath, doctor, I'm in agony." Danny's voice shot up to a hysterical grating whine. The doctor winced and passed a hand over his forehead. "Let me think. I can give you 1/4 grain tablet. That's all I have in the house." "But doctor, 1/4 G. The doctor stopped him. "If your condition is legitimate, you will not need more. If it isn't, I don't want anything to do with you. Wait right here." The doctor weaved down the hall, leaving a wake of alcoholic breath. He came back and dropped a tablet into Danny's hand. Danny wrapped the tablet in a piece of paper and tucked it away. "There is no charge." The doctor put his hand on the doorknob. "And now, my dear..." "But doctor, can't you inject the medication?" "No, you will obtain longer relief than using orally. Please not to return." The doctor opened the door. "Well, this will take the edge off, and I still have money to put down on a room," Danny thought. Danny put down $2 on a $6 a week room in the West 40s, where he knew the landlord. He bolted the door and put his spoon, needle, and dropper on a table by the bed. He dropped the tablet in the spoon and covered it with a dropper full of water. He held a match under the spoon until the tablet dissolved. He tore a strip of paper, wet it, and wrapped it around the end of the dropper, fitting the needle over the wet paper to make an airtight connection. He dropped the piece of lint from his pocket into the spoon and sucked the liquid into the dropper through the needle, holding the needle in the lint to take up the last drop. Danny's hands trembled with excitement and his breath was quick. With a shot in front of him, his defenses gave way and junk sickness flooded his body. His legs began to twitch and ache. Cramp stirred in his stomach. Tears ran down his face from his smarting, burning eyes. He wrapped a handkerchief around his right arm, holding the end in his teeth. He tucked the handkerchief in and began rubbing his arm to bring out a vein. "Guess I can hit that one," he thought, running one finger along a vein. He picked up the dropper in his left hand. Danny heard a groan from the next drum. He frowned with annoyance. Another groan. He could not help listening. He walked across the room, the dropper in his hand, and inclined his ear to the wall. The groans were coming at regular intervals, a horrible, inhuman sound pushed out from the stomach. Danny listened for a full minute. He returned to the bed and sat down. "Why don't someone call a doctor?" he thought indignantly. "It's a bring down." He straightened his arm and poised the needle. He tilted his head, listening again. "Oh, for Christ's sake!" He tore off the handkerchief and placed the dropper in a water glass, which he hid behind the wastebasket. He stepped into the hall and knocked on the door of the next room. There was no answer. The groans continued. Danny tried the door. It was open. The shade was up and the room was full of light. He had expected an old person somehow, but the man on the bed was very young, 18 or 20, fully clothed and doubled up with his hands clasped across his stomach. "What's wrong, kid?" Danny asked. The boy looked at him, his eyes blank with pain. Finally, he got out one word, kidneys. "Kidney stones," Danny smiled. "I don't mean it's funny, kid, it's just... I've faked it so many times, never saw the real thing before. I'll call an ambulance." The boy bit his lip. "Won't come. Doctors won't come." The boy hid his face in the pillow. Danny nodded. "They figure it's just another junkie throwing a winding for a shot. But your case is legit. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained things, no, I guess that wouldn't be so good." Danny trailed off. Suddenly he put out his thin, dirty hand and touched the boy's shoulder. I'm sorry, kid. You wait. I'll fix you up. He went back to his room and got the dropper and returned to the boy's room. Roll up your sleeve, kid. The boy fumbled his coat sleeve with a weak hand. That's okay. I'll get it. Danny undid the shirt button at the wrist and pushed the shirt and coat up, barring a thin brown forearm. Danny hesitated, looking at the dropper. Sweat ran down his nose. The boy was looking up at him. Danny shoved the needle in the boy's forearm and watched the liquid drain into the flesh. He straightened up. The boy's face began to relax. He sat up and smiled. Say, that stuff really works, he said. You a doctor, mister? No, kid. The boy lay down, stretching. I feel real sleepy. Didn't sleep all last night. His eyes were closing. Danny walked across the room and pulled the shade down. He went back to his room and closed the door without locking it. He sat on the bed, looking at the empty dropper. It was getting dark outside. Danny's body ached for junk, but it was a dull ache now, dull and hopeless. Suddenly a warm flood pulsed through his veins and broke in his head like a thousand golden speedballs. For Christ's sake, Danny thought, I must have scored for the immaculate fix. The vegetable serenity of junk settled in his tissues. His face went slack and peaceful, and his head fell forward. Danny the car wiper was on the nod.